figure, bent over with the cares of the indelible world, the wind howling out of the north, the sound of icicles jangling in his ears. Yeah, there's this friend of mine, see? Yeah, he called me on the phone today. The phone rang. I'm sitting there. You know, you never know what's going to happen with that phone. I wonder how many people are nervous just looking at phones. Yeah, you know that there's a whole new psychological illness which has been very well recorded by many modern psychologists that has to do with the fear of the telephone. Now, Freud didn't even know about that. They didn't have phones in his day, you know. Oh, my God, no. But the fear of the telephone is a well-documented thing today. Many people just sit and look at their phone by the hour, waiting for it to come and bring them the bad news. Now, what bad news? Just bad news. Just free-form bad news. Not anything specific. The silent phone sits and waits and watches like some vulture. Quoth the raven nevermore. Quoth the raven nevermore. I see an image of a black telephone sitting up there on the top of your windowsill. Quoth the French phone nevermore. The great fear of the phone. And so the phone rang today, see, and I leaped back like W.C. Fields making a terrible double take when somebody shows him a glass of water. I picked it up and I said, hello? You see, carefully disguising my voice, hello? And I hear on the other end of the voice, is it Shepard? I said, yes. You know what day it is? I said, matter of fact, I do know what day it is. It's Friday. But that ain't all. I said, what else is it? It's Friday. What do you want me to say? Come on, Holly, what's the trouble? It's not only Friday, Shepard. It's also Pearl Harbor Day. Hooray, 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 hooray. Yes, tonight we would like to salute Pearl Harbor Day, which has become a veritable industry in itself. Motion pictures, books, commemorative albums, tourist trips, all of it is around Pearl Harbor Day. One of the great new industries of the last half of the 20th century. Pearl Harbor Day. And I said, but Howie, what's the matter? Why do you sound nervous about Pearl Harbor Day? They're not going to come back and bomb now. They got too many things going. You know, they're bringing in the Panasonics and the Hitachis and the Sonys and all that stuff. My God, they don't have to bomb no more. Steady it! You know the tradition over at this joint, don't you? I said, yes, I do know the tradition over at OQ, Y, and B, which is incidentally the agent that he works for, a little agency over on the long side of Madison Avenue, where they have accounts for pimple creams, hair straighteners, and stuff like that, you know, how to make lamps out of green bottles of beer and all kinds of great products. And I said, what's the matter over at OQ, L, Y, and B? He said, Pearl Harbor Day is the traditional day for it. I said, what? What? He said, well, the boss, he kind of believes that Pearl Harbor Day is symbolic. It's Friday, right, Shepard? And I said, yes, it is Friday. He says, well, Friday is the day that they do the firing over here. Especially on Pearl Harbor Day, at just before Christmas. Bring it up, wise. Hold it there, thank you. Now, reset that, will you? Have you noticed that Christmas, Pearl Harbor Day, and firing all seem to go together? Now, that's the subject for tonight's lecture, friends. Personal Pearl Harbors. We're not talking about the historic one where the Japanese came in with all those Bettys and Zeeks and stuff and laid it on the U.S. Arizona. We're not talking about that. Because, you know, what can you say about it? That's history. That's about as relevant to our world today as the Whiskey Rebellion. Right? Or the War of the Roses. Or the 30 Years' War. Or Richard the Lionhearted. It's all part of history. But each one of us has had his own private Pearl Harbor. And it usually revolves itself around that curious triumvirate. Has it occurred to you that there is a triumvirate? that goes together. All right. Pearl Harbor, December 7th. That's December. Incidentally, speaking of Pearl Harbor, I just learned a fantastic piece of trivia. Really a fantastic piece of trivia, and I'm going to lay it on you. And I'm not a trivia fan, but you know that any time people talk about Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, whenever they talk about this, when they write a play about it or books about it or movies about it, anything they write about it, they always refer to the fact that millions of people were listening to the football game when the announcement of Pearl Harbor was made on the radio. Have you heard that yourself, Jerry? Yeah, they all talk about that game. Now, what game was it that they were listening to? Now, that's a piece of trivia for you, friend. What game was the game that they were listening to in New York? Well, now, that's a real piece of trivia, and hardly anyone can come up with it, but they always use it. In fact, I saw a movie here a couple of days ago on late television. I'd, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like Sneak Attack, it was called, and it showed somebody like Priscilla Lane and Ronald Reagan, somebody like Jeffrey Lynn sitting there, and they're having breakfast or they're having lunch or something in the house, and the radio is going in the back, and oh, down on the 27-yard line, and with third down and three to go. And now there's the pass from center. It's a quick kick, and it's gone down to the 40-yard line. It's right down to the 45. You know, they're listening to the football game. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this, you hear in the background, you hear the radio. So they're not really listening to the radio. They're having their own little thing going on. They're talking and drinking coffee, and the football game is in the background. When all of a sudden, you hear the radio say, we now pause for a bulletin from our studio. Attention, please. All Americans, listen carefully. Pearl Harbor has just been bombed. We repeat, Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands has just been bombed and is now under attack by forces of the Japanese Naval Air Force. Are now attacking Pearl Harbor. We will have further information as it comes into our studios. And now back to the football game.
And these two people sat there and says, what was that? What was that?
Well, okay. There's a good piece of trivia. What football game were they listening to at the time of Pearl Harbor 1941? Now, I found it out. I didn't know this. So don't come and say, Shepard must have been. No way. I just heard this just 5 minutes ago before I came in here. And I was, it was kind of interesting to me. And I thought, I never knew what the game was that they were listening to that everybody claims they was hearing. Because, because according to the time differential, out in Pearl Harbor, the attack occurred just about 8 a.m., which would be Hawaiian time. Well, figure out the time differential between, say, New York and Hawaii. And that attack was being made then in the very early afternoon here. Do you agree? Okay. So here was this football game on the radio, and it was apparently a very big game in New York, and everybody was listening to it, or at least a large number of people were listening. And they were listening to what station? Well, you'd be astounded. It was WOR. It was this station they were listening to, because this station had the exclusive rights to the professional football game that was being broadcast at the time that Pearl Harbor occurred. Now, what was the game? Who were the teams playing? Who were the two teams? Obviously, two teams. Who were they? Well, I'll give you a clue. It was a local New York game. So, you use your head right away. Who was, in the Professional Football League? Who'd it be? Who? No. Why do you pick such an off-the-wall team? What New York team is the most famous professional New York team? Right, there you go. That's using the head now. Let's start getting the head going. The Giants, right. The New York Giants were playing. Who were they playing? I'll give you a clue. It was a team that was a local team, curiously enough. Another clue, it was not the Yankees. Huh? That's correct. They were playing the Dodgers. There was a football team called the Brooklyn Dodgers.
So they were having a big professional football game on that day. Now, here is a fantastic bit of trivia, and I will just leave it on there, and I will not say any more about it. Get ready in there. We will salute this trivial moment, and yet important moment, in American history. Who was the play-by-play announcer that they were listening to at the time that the studio cut in and says, "Attention, please. Attention, please. A special bulletin from the WOR newsroom. The Hawaiian Islands, the naval and army base at Pearl Harbor, is now under attack from forces of the Japanese Air Force and Navy. We will have more information as it comes into our newsroom. And now back to the football game." Who was the announcer that was doing that play-by-play game? All right, thank you, Cordy. Thank you. Now let's get a little of these. Who was it now? Come on, you think well, are you sure of that? Don't be smart now. You know, you're just loudly making guesses here. Friends, as you probably know, Denmark is one of the friendliest countries in the world, according to this copy. Well, we think that Denmark produces the friendliest cheeses in the world. You know, not like those hateful cheeses and those biased and prejudiced cheeses from other countries. Listen to these strictly Danish names. Esrom, Thiebaud, Danbo, Samso, Havarti, Creamy Havarti, and Danablu. These are all great Danish cheeses, so we suggest that you try some of these great Danish cheeses. Look for Thiebaud, along with Esrom, Samso, Havarti. Incidentally, Thiebaud wears that red waxy coat. You know, it looks like a little red bowling ball. They're all from Denmark. And Denmark is the cheesemaker to the world.
Now, at last, at the Montfontein Theater, 46th Street between Broadway and 8th Avenue, the exciting new production of The Pajama Game.
I want you to sit there for half a minute, because I got to ask some tough questions. Do you think all beer tastes the same? Have you heard about the Ballantine Brewmaster? How he's so good he runs all 7 breweries that make Ballantine, not just one? Do you know he makes the best tasting beer you can buy? When someone asks you, does one beer taste better than the rest? You give him the answer. The only answer. Ballantine.
Yeah, this is WOR New York, the station that brought you the news of Pearl Harbor. Yeah, it's all right. Don't worry, Jerry. I see it pretty well. I just couldn't miss that opening, though. No, that's a fact. This station did break the news to New York. I'm sure there were other stations around the country that broke it in their area, but this was the station that broke the news to New York about Pearl Harbor. And I don't know who the announcer was, the newsman, who was on duty at the time here. That'd be interesting to find out. Find out who the guy was that came in and broke right in here and said Pearl Harbor is now being attacked. But I do know who the announcer was who did the football game on the day of Pearl Harbor. Now, I'll ask you another question of trivia nature about that same thing. Since we now have established that the Giants were playing the Brooklyn Dodgers, which was a professional football team at the time, who won the game? What was the final outcome of that game? Well, don't be so sure. Who won that football game? And who was doing the play-by-play of the game? I heard a lot of fascinating things about that today, which I will go into. Incidentally, the first annual, this little tag after that thing we have there, that was brewed by the P. Ballantine Brewing Company, of course, Ballantine Beer, Cranston, Rhode Island. Now, these are all sort of cliches today. Everybody talks about Pearl Harbor, you know, and they always talk about listening to the football game. And incidentally, I also found out that that game did have a very large rating that day, not because of the announcement of Pearl Harbor, but because the game between the Giants and the Dodgers was a very emotional contest here locally in New York. Now, if the Giants had been, let's say, playing the
Pittsburgh Steelers of that day, there wouldn't have been that great a listening audience. But because they were playing the Dodgers, this was another ball game. And where was it being played? Where were they playing the game? Well, don't be too sure, you know. The Dodgers had a field, too. Now, where were they playing this game? That's a good question. And I talked to people about it, and one of the guys that was involved said that the first hint that they had at the football game, that anything, they didn't know. They were up in the booth, you know. They were doing this whole game. That's as far, because there's no connection between the booth and back at the studio, except when they want some kind of an engineer signal, we'll go back and forth. But they didn't have any idea that there was anything happening. And, of course, the audience watching the game, there was a big crowd that was a sellout. It was a packed house at the game, had no idea what was going on. But there was an announcement made at the game, and the first hint that these guys had up in the booth that anything was happening and was a historical day came when this announcement was made on the PA system, not by the radio people, but on the PA system. Can you give me a little echo chamber? I'll give you what that sounded like, the PA announcement. Hello, 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 hello. Just a little bit less. A little, just a touch of echo. You know how a PA system.
Hold your attention, please. Your attention, please. Would Colonel Donovan of the U.S. Army please report to his headquarters immediately? Would Colonel Donovan of the U.S. Army report to his headquarters immediately?
Now, who was Colonel Donovan? Later, General Donovan. Interesting. And the minute that that was made on the PA announcement, a lot of people began to get a little, who were in the know, began to get a little nervous, because Donovan was the head of a very secret organization called the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services. And that was the first announcement that was made. He was at the game. He was sitting out there watching a football game. And that was the first hint that anybody had up in the stands that something really strange was going on. And then at that moment, just after that announcement, there was a phone call in the booth that there is going to be a bulletin immediately, and that they were going to drop from the game and pick it up back in the studio. And so at that point, the line dropped, and they could hear on the two-way line, they could hear the announcement being made. And the announcer just broke in and said,
Your attention, please. Here is a bulletin from the WOR newsroom. Pearl Harbor is now under attack. The Naval and Air Force base in the Hawaiian Islands, Pearl Harbor, is now under attack by unknown forces, apparently of Japanese origin. We do not have any information yet as to casualties, but the attack began just a few minutes ago, and Pearl Harbor is now under attack. We now return you to the program in progress.
Fantastic moment. I mean, it was wild. Well, here they were. They were sitting up there in the booth. They didn't know anything about it, you know, and all of a sudden they got this bulletin, and they were just as confused as anybody else. And, of course, what they did then was just go on with the football game, which is about all they could do. And shortly thereafter, then, an announcement was made on the PA system at the football game, and it went something like this. This was after the Donovan announcement. The PA announcer was given a message, and he came on and said the following.
Your attention, please. Your attention, please. Would all uniformed members of the armed forces please report to their respective headquarters immediately? Would all armed forces members in the stadium today, please report to your headquarters immediately.
And that was it. All these guys, there were a lot of soldiers and all that out there, you know, at the football game, and sailors. They were dumbfounded. They didn't know what was going on. They all got up and they started to walk to the gates. And they got up and started milling around and going on. Well, it wasn't until another 15 or 20 minutes that they made an actual announcement, and it never was remade, as far as I know, at the football game. I may be wrong on that, but that's what I hear. So that was a very dramatic moment. It must have been wild. Who was the announcer then? Well, I'll tell you. Might as well give him credit. Stan Lomax. Stan Lomax, our WOR is still here. Stan Lomax was doing the play-by-play on that great historic game that they always talk about. They never talk about anything else. You know, apparently nobody was listening to anything else or doing anything else on that particular Sunday but listening to that game. So Stan said it was a wild moment in the booth. It must have been when all this began to happen. So as far as, you know, the historical impact of it on people is concerned, it must have really been almost unparalleled. You know, can you imagine right now, you know, breaking into Captain Kangaroo or, you know,
attention please, Washington is under attack, unknown airplanes are attacked.
Good Lord, people would flip. And at that time, apparently, a lot of them did.
Michael, you're not eating. What's the matter?
I'm saving myself, Mom, for the Wine and Cheese Festival at the New York Coliseum.
Wine and Cheese Festival? When you have boiled beef and mixed vegetables to eat? You love my mixed vegetables.
I do, Mom, but this is the first annual International Wine and Cheese Festival. That means wines and cheeses from all over the world. Burgundy, champagnes, rosés, and Bordeaux to sip. Soft cheese, hard cheese, spicy cheese to taste, and cooking lessons with wine, an actual vineyard, and a wine and cheese store from the year 2001.
You're too young for that, Michael. I'm sure no one under 18 is permitted without a parent.
That's true, but I'm 35 years old, Mom. And anyway, I might need a nice girl there.
I think I'll go too. Maybe I can learn how to cook with wine and cheese.
Hey, listen, before I go any further, Sunday afternoon, that's this coming Sunday, about 1 o'clock, I'm going to be on Channel 13, where, you know, they're involved in their annual raising fund thing, and I'm going to be on Channel 13. I'm going to hold down the fort there about 1 o'clock. That's this Sunday, and I want you to call in. Give those guys some dough. They need it. But, you know, this whole story... Yeah, you have the Magic Fest spot ready? Okay.
The world's greatest magicians perform at the World Festival of Magic and the Occult, the weirdest show on earth. An unforgettable experience. Bring the whole family to hold each other's hands. The World Festival of Magic and the Occult, the weirdest show on earth.
Wednesday, December 12th through Sunday, December 30th at the Felt Forum in Madison Square Garden Center. For ticket information, call 212-564-4400. Tickets also at Ticketron.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, here's the tag for that cheese thing. Let's see, the first annual Wine and Cheese Festival at the New York Coliseum from tomorrow through Sunday, December 16th. All right. Doors are open at 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yes, indeed.